Well, good morning, everyone. It's certainly a pleasure to have this opportunity to speak with you today about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And my name is Beth Hibbs, and I'll be presenting the first half of this presentation. And my colleague, Elaine Miller, will be presenting the second half. Before we begin, I'd like to ask those of you in the audience, how many of you have completed a report to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System? Wow, that is great. That is great, and thank you very much. Well, this session today is going to kind of describe a little bit about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and we're looking forward to your comments and questions. And so please don't be shy afterwards to speak up after we're done with our presentation, or I guess at the very end once everyone's presented. We're going to cover a number of topics today relating to VAERS. By the end of the presentation, you should be able to describe the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, including the role of VAERS in vaccine safety surveillance, strengths and limitations of the system, how to report to VAERS, and which events should be reported, where you can search VAERS data, and we also have included some slides on helpful vaccine safety articles and resources. Before we get started, let's discuss how VAERS defines a vaccine adverse event. Vaccine adverse events are defined as health effects that occur after immunization that may or may not be causally related to vaccine. So why would VAERS want to hear about conditions that may not be related to vaccine? Well, we want to hear about them because by including all health conditions that occur around the time of vaccination, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System can look for new or previously unrecognized health events, or very rare conditions that people may not have associated with a vaccine. During 2009, VAERS received approximately 38,000 reports. Over the last 5 years, VAERS has received an average of approximately 29,000 reports per year, with the total number of reports to VAERS steadily increasing each year. The National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 created the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System as a national system to collect, manage, and evaluate reports of possible adverse events that occur after the administration of U.S. licensed vaccines. In 1990, VAERS first began operating, and it is co-managed by the CDC and the Food and Drug Administration. Anyone can submit a report to VAERS. And VAERS data is publicly available through the CDC Wonder database, which we will discuss more in detail later. VAERS is used to identify new and rare adverse events, monitor trends in known adverse events, identify possible patient risk factors, generate hypothesis, provide information for public health policies, and monitor vaccine lot safety. And we'll go more into these in the next several slides. Let's discuss some of the strengths and weaknesses of the VAERS system. VAERS' first strength is that the system is national in scope, and because of this, it can collect large numbers of reports, allowing it to detect very rare vaccine adverse events. VAERS data generates hypotheses or questions for further study, and VAERS can help identify new or rare adverse events following immunization that were not detected in smaller pre-licensure vaccine trials. VAERS data can also help scientists determine if further investigations are needed. VAERS can also monitor trends of already known adverse events, such as increases in known vaccine reactions or decreases in reactions when similar vaccines are compared. And also, VAERS is a powerful tool to monitor vaccine lot or batch safety, which is led by our colleagues at the Food and Drug Administration. There are a number of limitations of VAERS data that are covered in this slide. First, there are reporting biases, including underreporting. Because the system requires people to report to VAERS, we know that we may not be completely capturing all adverse events that occur. Stimulated reporting to VAERS can result from media attention, such as a national news story highlighting a concern about vaccine, and other factors, such as a coalition group encouraging members to file reports on a specific health condition. Not all reports are verifiable, and some reports are sent in with incomplete or missing information. And some reports have inadequate identifying information, so they are impossible to confirm or follow up. There are also statistical limitations to VAERS. VAERS does not measure how many vaccines were given, so the denominator is unknown for most vaccines, and the rates of adverse events cannot always accurately be calculated. For instance, there may be no information on the number of persons vaccinated and no information on background rates of health conditions of interest to compare with reports of adverse events in the population. Finally, and I think probably the most important point, is that coincidental events are reported to VAERS that happen around the time of vaccination and are related to other causes. VAERS does not make an evaluation of whether the reports are caused by vaccine, and these reports remain in the data set. Despite its weaknesses and limitations, the VAERS system is a critical tool in vaccine safety. VAERS has several uses, and a few of these are illustrated on the next two slides. First, VAERS can be used to monitor the general safety of new vaccines. During the H1N1 pandemic, VAERS has been key in helping to assess the safety of this new H1N1 vaccine to ensure there were no unexpected adverse events. VAERS can also help to detect new adverse event signals. Signals, or a number of reports that would be above what would be expected to occur by chance alone, are followed up by other research studies to evaluate and confirm if a signal is true. Examples of how VAERS detected new adverse event signals include the 1999 rotavirus vaccine, which was found to be associated with an increased risk of intussusception in infants, which is a condition where the intestine folds like a telescope, causing a bowel obstruction. This rare risk was identified because 15 healthcare providers took the time to report to VAERS. The manufacturer voluntarily removed the vaccine from the market until further studies could be done to confirm the finding. In 2003, a rare association of smallpox vaccine with myopericarditis was detected by VAERS, leading to changes in screening patients before receiving the vaccine. A condition that's not so rare is syncope following vaccination, and VAERS has detected a signal of an increased risk of syncope in adolescents after receiving vaccines, especially in females after receiving Gardasil vaccine. This signal is still being investigated. Let's continue on the next slide. VAERS data can also provide reassuring evidence supporting vaccine safety. For instance, in 1976, vaccination with swine flu vaccine was associated with getting Guillain-Barré syndrome. VAERS has monitored influenza vaccine every year, looking specifically at reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome. The results have been very reassuring, and several studies have been done using VAERS data. Only one study showed a rare possible association. That study suggested that one person out of 1 million vaccinated persons may have been at increased risk for Guillain-Barré syndrome associated with influenza vaccine during two flu seasons, and those flu seasons were 1992 through 1994. Another example, VAERS was able to document a decrease in the risk of fevers and seizures when the newer acellular pertussis vaccine, DTaP, first came on the market over the older host cell pertussis vaccines. We are often asked about what events should be reported to VAERS. You should report clinically significant events, including any adverse event that you are concerned about, even if you are not certain the vaccine caused the adverse event. The National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 mandates that healthcare providers also, in addition to this, report specific adverse events after vaccination, including adverse events that occur within a certain time period, listed in the table of reportable events, which can be found at the website listed on this slide. Examples of what is listed in this table are anaphylaxis 0 to 4 hours for many vaccines, and reports of brachial neuritis within 28 days following tetanus-containing vaccines. The occurrence of any contraindicating reaction to a vaccine, which is specified in the manufacturer's package insert, is another thing that is requested of healthcare providers to be sure and report. Let's continue on the next slide. The VAERS report should include as much information as possible. The picture on this slide is a copy of the VAERS report form. The form collects demographic information about the patient and reporter of vaccine adverse events. Under the circle AE, the form requests information about the adverse event and the outcome of what happened to the patient. Next, in the circle marked BACS, the form asks about which vaccines were given and their lot number, and also about previous vaccine given in the prior 4 weeks. The rest of the form requests more specific information about the patient's history, such as any illness at the time of vaccination, any pre-existing conditions, and any adverse event following prior vaccination. There is no time limit on reporting to VAERS, but you should report as soon as possible. Now, I would like, it's my pleasure to turn the podium over to Elaine Miller, who will be doing the second half of this presentation.
Thanks, Beth. Now we're going to cover how to submit a VAERS report, and you can do that in one of three ways. You can do it online through the VAERS website, or you can send a hard copy by fax or mail. A hard copy VAERS report may be downloaded from the VAERS website. Or you can request a VAERS form or other VAERS assistance by calling the VAERS hotline or emailing info@VAERS.org. We prefer that you send reports by web because we're able to get the information more quickly that way, and it's also processed more quickly. After you submit a VAERS report, if the report is serious or it is a report of a diagnosis of interest, we have a team that will follow up with you, the reporter, to obtain additional information. If pertinent information like the lot number is missing, they may ask you for a copy of the immunization record, or they may ask you for the medical records, or they may ask you what hospital the patient was in so that they can, so that we can obtain a copy of the hospital records. Additionally, we send out letters at 60 days and 1 year after we received the VAERS report if the recovery status was listed as no or unknown. We do that to find out if the patient did recover. Now, as I mentioned, we follow up on serious reports, and a serious report is defined by the Code of Federal Regulations as a death, a life-threatening illness, a hospitalization, a prolongation of an existing hospitalization, a persistent or significant disability, and certain other medically important conditions. When you look at the VAERS report, question number 8 asks you to check all that are appropriate. And that question, if there's a check in any of those boxes, that tells us that it's a serious report. The only exception is if the only thing checked is required emergency room doctor visit or none of the above, then it is not a serious report. But any other check, it identifies it as a serious report, and there will be follow-up. We're going to review some frequently asked questions about VAERS. How are VAERS reports analyzed? The CDC and the Food and Drug Administration share the responsibility for analyzing VAERS reports. What we're looking for are signals for new or unexpected adverse events of concern. So when a VAERS report comes in, we have a staff that assigns codes to the adverse event, and the name of those are called MedraCodes, which stands for Medical Dictionary for Regulatory Activities. These codes help us to do the analysis. So in other words, there'll be a code for the adverse event, and also as a denominator, we use doses distributed since we usually do not have the total number of doses administered. And what we'll do is assess and compare reporting rates for a vaccine and an adverse event for a certain age group and compare that to what is occurring in the background or among people who are not vaccinated. Keep in mind, you know, Beth mentioned the limitations of the VAERS data, so these reporting rates do have limitations. You know, there's underreporting. The denominator is really just a proxy for the true denominator, but this is how we do the analysis. We also review individual reports for serious adverse events and other selected conditions, and we look at the follow-up records that we've obtained on the serious reports. Additionally, we closely monitor the safety of the lots of vaccine, and FDA has primary responsibility for this. How can public VAERS data be obtained? You know, we get a lot of questions like, I have a patient with this adverse event. Have you ever seen this in VAERS? And we can look at that, but we've set up a system so that you also can look at it yourself. We've made the VAERS data publicly available, and there are two ways to do that. One way is a search engine. If you go to the VAERS website, you use what's called the Wonder search engine. Wonder stands for wide-ranging online data for epidemiologic research. So you can put in the adverse event of interest, such as Guillain-Barré syndrome, and the vaccine that you're interested in, and you can pick the information that you'd like to get, you know, about those reports. Additionally, you can download raw data files for import into a database, spreadsheet, or text editing program. And that is also available on the VAERS website. It's important to keep in mind that it takes us about a month to get the report processed and put on the system. So if you submit a report, it'll take about a month before it is up on the public data set. What are the best resources for vaccine safety? Well, I think the best resource is one of the best is the manufacturer's package insert that comes with the vaccine. And FDA has an excellent website for all U.S. licensed vaccines, and the package insert is listed on that website, and we put the link here. Additionally, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice Statements, or the ACIP recommendations for each vaccine, which you can also find on this website, are excellent resources. And of course, the vaccine information statements. So how can you, the healthcare provider, contribute to vaccine safety? You should properly store your vaccines. CDC has excellent guidance on a toolkit on the web about storage of vaccines that's a supplement to public health department's guidelines, and you can find that here. You should properly administer vaccines. You should screen your patients for contraindications and precautions before you administer the vaccines. And CDC also has a document listing the contraindications and precautions for each vaccine. You should also talk with your patients or the parents of patients about risks and benefits of vaccines. And the VIS is very helpful for that, vaccine information statement. You should evaluate and treat your patient if an adverse event occurs, and of course, you should report clinically significant adverse events to VAERS promptly. I mentioned the vaccine information statements, or the VIS, and these statements contain vaccine safety information, including information about contraindications and VAERS information, and also information on the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And you're probably aware that law requires that if you are administering a vaccine that's listed on the childhood schedule, that you are required to give a vaccine information statement. Keep in mind that for every licensed vaccine, there is a VIS. So even if it's not on the childhood schedule, it's still a very helpful tool. A couple of additional resources for vaccine safety. The CDC Immunization Safety Office has a website with frequently asked questions on vaccine safety. You can call the CDC hotline, that's 800-CDC-INFO, or send an email to cdcinfo@cdc.gov if you have questions on vaccine safety. You can go to the VAERS hotline or the VAERS website, as I mentioned previously, if you need a VAERS form or you have a question about reporting to VAERS. There's also the Vaccine Injury Compensation under HRSA, which is a separate program from VAERS, but I did put it on here. They have a hotline and a website. And it's important to keep in mind that the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is a separate program from VAERS, and when you file a VAERS report, you are not filing a claim with injury compensation. They're separate programs. And also, I mentioned the Food and Drug Administration has a very good website, including the package inserts. Here's some additional helpful articles on VAERS. So in summary, VAERS is a frontline mechanism for monitoring the safety of U.S. licensed vaccines. It is one of several systems, but it is a frontline system. And you as the clinician are very important to VAERS because, you know, you all are with the patients and you see what's going on in the real world. And usually the first hint of a problem is picked up by a clinician who's watching and monitoring. So your reports to VAERS are extremely important. And VAERS reports are used to inform CDC and FDA and others about possible rare or new vaccine side effects or changes in known vaccine side effects. It's used to monitor lot safety, and the data from VAERS is frequently used to update the manufacturer package insert, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommendations, and the vaccine information statements. Thank you.